the Shadow Conventions kicked off on Sunday. The Shadow Conventions are a combination of teach-in and quasi-political convention that are designed to raise issues that the conveners believe will not be addressed by the Republican National Convention here in Philadelphia nor in Los Angeles when the Democrats meet there in a couple of weeks. Arianna Huffington kicked off the convention and introduced Senator John McCain as well.
Our goal is to generate a national conversation about three urgent issues that are not part of the conversation at the other conventions, except in terms of political platitudes. And our other goal is to end the destructive addiction of our campaigns to millions and millions of cash. Basically, we'd like to drag our political leaders into donor detox. We'd like to speed the day when two gentlemen named Mitch McConnell and Bob Torricelli humbly rise in front of a meeting of fellow addicts and say, "Hi, my name is Mitch, my name is Bob, and I'm a fundraiser-holic." The three issues the Shadow Convention will be addressing are the corruption of money in politics, the persistence of poverty in the middle of our unprecedented prosperity, and the failed drug war that neither party is willing to address just because there is no financial constituency that has a stake at addressing it. And so, what we want to do is say, these are the icebergs on the horizon. We want to sound the alarm, and we also want to have a debate about the solutions that can move us forward. We are not endorsing any party, nor do we intend to start a new party. We are part of building a movement. And as Jim Wallace, one of our conveners and a veteran of the civil rights struggle, puts it, we want a movement that will change the wind. And when we change the wind, politicians will put their fingers up to see which way it's blowing, and you bet that's the way they're going to go.
Senator John McCain was initially a warm welcome keynote speaker at the Shadow Conventions.
Pleased to be here today at this obscure, far too underreported gathering. I am, of course, widely known for my discretion, and I thought losing myself in this crowd of like-minded shrinking violets would be a good way to keep a low profile until the Republican National Convention begins tomorrow. However, I don't want to use your kind invitation only for the purpose of self-abnegation. I thought I might do a little evangelizing while I'm here for the cause that motivated my late lamented by me at least, campaign for the Republican nomination for president. That cause, my friends, is sustaining our nation's greatness. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe we were meant to transform history. I believe that the progress of all humanity will depend, as it has for many years now, on the global progress of American interests and values. I believe we are still the last best hope of Earth. I used my campaign for the presidency to call for the reform of the practices and institutions of our democracy. And I was deeply gratified by the public's strong support to a commitment to break the iron triangle of money, lobbyists, and legislation, to reform government institutions to meet the demands of a new day, and to shake up our political system and restore a sense of purpose to politics beyond the personal ambitions of politicians. But the reforms I called for were not ends in themselves. They were means to repair the American people's relationship with their government. Because I fear that if Americans no longer believe their government embodies the founding ideals that are the basis for American exceptionalism, then Americans will stop seeing themselves as part of something greater than the pursuit of their self-interest. The cynicism, indifference, and selfishness that will fill the void of declining civic pride and love threaten a swifter and more certain end to our civilization's greatness than any foreign enemy ever posed. As you all know, I've come to Philadelphia to address another convention, my party's convention. As I said during my campaign, the Republican Party is my home. And I believe that among the two major parties, Republicans still offer the best chance for the changes that I feel are so necessary for democracy. That's why I remain a Republican, despite temptations to use other unconventional political means to satisfy my own ambitions. I understand that you didn't come here for the purpose of entertaining overt political appeals by representatives of Republican or Democrat parties. I believe that you believe it is necessary to seek long overdue changes to politics and governance outside the two-party system. But I believe still, despite our imperfections, that Republicans are the party of reform. And it would be dishonesty by omission if I failed to state my belief clearly to you. Likewise, I am obliged not by party loyalty, but by sincere conviction to urge all Americans to support my party's nominee, Governor George Bush of Texas. I think it's quite clear that he's the candidate who offers change and that the vice president is the candidate of the status quo. And as most people know, I don't care much for the status quo.
But things turned sour quickly when Senator McCain began to express his support for Governor Bush and the Republican Party. At one point, Senator John McCain was almost driven from the stage until Arianna Huffington came to the podium and asked the crowd to allow John McCain to speak.
Governor Bush and I were in a tough contest. And as everyone knows, we don't agree on every issue, including, of course, the issue of a complete ban on soft money. But we do agree. We do agree on many more issues than we disagree on. We agree on important reforms, reform of public education, entitlement programs, the military, government spending, and many others. And we agree completely that the way the public's business has been conducted in recent years, consumed by an almost mindless partisanship, is shameful and offensive to Americans who expect more from their elected leaders.
Arianna Huffington is the media darling of the shadow convention so far, constantly in demand from network and local television, as well as radio from around the country.
Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you very much.
You're taller
so far.
Than I remember. Give us the basics. Why was this convention convened in the first place?
This convention was convened because we believe that the three critical issues that we're addressing are not being seriously addressed at either convention. And they are the corruption of money in politics, the persistence of poverty in the middle of our prosperity, and the failed drug war that neither party is willing to address. Drugs are cheaper, more available, and more potent than ever before. And yet, after $40 billion a year being spent on the drug war, all the two candidates have to say is, let's get tougher.
You're formerly a Republican. What made you switch from the grand old party to basically what is almost looks like a third party?
No, not a third party. This
but
is
it almost looks like one from
well,
here,
no, because what we're doing is really helping build a movement. We don't want another party. We just want a movement that will force the major parties and all the other parties to address these issues seriously. In terms of my own evolution, frankly, it's been the process of writing a political column twice a week and coming up again and again against the data, against the facts. And at first I tried to shift the Republican Party in the direction of addressing these issues. And when I failed, I came to the conclusion that neither party is going to seriously address these issues, that it is going to take a movement to bring about fundamental change in America.
What do you share and what do you have in common and what are your differences with the people who are protesting in the streets?
We share the protest impulse. We sympathize with the protest impulse in the middle of a broken system, a two-party system that no longer works. We are different in that we are inside and that we are only addressing three major issues.
When you say we're different in that we're inside, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that we have a structured program. And we're only addressing the corruption of money in politics, poverty, and the failed drug war.
And how about John McCain? How can he play both sides of the fence? If he's a real reformer, what's he doing down the road?
Well, John McCain is the most important reformer from within the system. But he's within the system, and that's a high wire act. He's speaking here, which is really discharging his larger obligation to revitalizing our democracy. And he's speaking at the RNC convention on Tuesday, fulfilling his smaller obligation of loyalty to his party.
Senator McCain is scheduled to speak at the Republican National Convention addressing the topics of veterans and the military. The shadow conventions will continue throughout the week here at the Annenberg Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Reporting for the Western Slopes News Service, I'm Mike Thornton.